shit show. It's a fucking shit show.
Welcome back to Shit Show Saturday. Saturday, folks. How's it going? So you're going to get to hear our group from this past Thursday, but real quick, I wanted to hit you with 8 reasons why you should really be damning the join, okay? 8 reasons why you'd be a damn fool for not hopping on this damn ship. Number 1, validation. So being a part of a group with others who have experienced similar things as you provides a shitload of validation and breaks through some of that shame and knowing that you're not the only one that has endured these things. 2, emotional support. So a large part of this healing process is bringing up and feeling all of those suppressed emotions that we have stuffed our entire life. And this is a community that is a safe space for you to do so and to have support while you're doing it. 3, breaking isolation. So in the Big Red Book, it talks about how we cannot heal in isolation. Okay, it says this in the Big Red Book. That's all I'm going to say there. 4, learning from others. So we gain a ton of insights into ourselves by hearing the experiences of others, right? These are insights that you wouldn't necessarily gain by sitting in your therapist's office. 5, encouragement and hope. By seeing other people's progress, recovery, and healing, that can give us so much damn hope and encouragement that the same is possible for us. 6, building healthy relationships. So as I always say, this is relational trauma. We heal relational trauma and safe relationships. This is a place where you can do so and where you can practice and develop healthier ways of getting along with other people. 7, you don't want this recovery process to be all doom and gloom. This is some painful shit, but you would also like to maybe have a little fun sometimes and have a little laugh sometimes. And last but not least, 8, it is less than $1 a day. It is less than a damn dollar a day, folks. Is your recovery worth $1 a day to you? I would say so. You can quit after a month. If you don't like it, you got no excuses. I'm sorry. And that's that, folks. I think that's quite compelling. I think that's quite convincing. If that doesn't get you, I really don't know what to say. We need to be just damning the join right now, okay? So take those little fingers of yours, and how about you go to the show notes for this episode, and you're going to click the damn the join hyperlink. And don't forget to give me a little follow on the Insta, on the TikTok, and give me a damn 5-star rating on Apple and Spotify. Thank you, love
they
you
say
all.
That I should damn the join shit show. They say that that's where people go to heal. They say that I'll feel seen and heard, like I have never felt before. So I'm going to damn the join right now.
All right, so trait 1, regular laundry list, is we became isolated and afraid of people and authority figures. The flip side of that is we move out of isolation and are not unrealistically afraid of other people, even authority figures. And then the other side of the laundry list is to cover our fear of people in our isolation, we tragically become the very authority figures who frightens others and causes them to withdraw. The flip side of that is we face and resolve our fear of people and our dread of isolation and stop intimidating others with our power and position. Our families were not safe enough for us to feel comfortable in being ourselves. Thus, we isolated ourselves by burying, hiding, denying, abandoning, and betraying our true self and presenting a false self to the world. From this protective space, we could keep our fear of people at an acceptable level. We didn't allow many folks the opportunity to hurt us, and when they were able to get close, any separation produced an almost intolerable feeling of pain that led us to refortify our defenses and to further isolate ourselves from any intimacy. The same scenario was played out with authority figures, either at work or at play. Our rebelliousness to authority was more an acting out of this trait than any legitimate push back against authority. In this process of dissociation, we had mastered the moves: isolate ourselves and continue to fear people and authority. Combined with the inevitable separation, we experience even deeper pain, greater isolation, and more fear. Game, set, and match. on it goes until we hit bottom and become willing to admit that we were powerless over this effect and that our lives had become unmanageable. We had dissociated from ourselves and others so perfectly that we felt we had mastered the process of dissociation. This process only produces a constant downward spiral of increasing loneliness and exaggerated fear that cripples our ability to engage in a meaningful relationship or to be productive members of society. Who wants to pick it up from there?
I can pick up, Andrew. Still, the childhood loss of trust permeates all of our interactions, relationships, and intimacy as the repetition or recycling of our traumatic child dynamics beckons us to find resolution or expression of our original pain. This is a natural and logical response to the chaotic family dynamics we were raised in, as described in the laundry list. However, many ACAs seem to have overcome their fear of people and authority figures, and it is presumed that we have achieved, despite our upbringing, a measure of success due to our resilience. Some of us understandably occupy positions of relative authority. Some of us may even occupy seats of power in corporations and nations. In a real sense, our childhood experiences made us adept at maintaining control, multitasking, managing chaos, and being decisive, all useful qualities of those in a position of authority. On the other hand, maintaining control, multitasking, managing chaos, and being decisive were all dissociating skills, which we learned to make our childhood safe. This dissociation may also reflect a form of acting out. We become the very authority figures who frighten others and cause them to withdraw. Outwardly, we may be socially celebrated and well-respected, but this is an ironic validation of our false self. The cost of this success for our leadership is that we may still be unconsciously reacting to our childhood dynamics, still being a hero or martyr. The payoff of our acting out in this manner is that we are actually denying our true self and reinforcing our overly protective and defensive false self. To maintain this false authority self, we unconsciously dose ourselves with adrenaline to feed the constant fear, anger, or pain, to armor ourselves against our unrealistic fear of people and the dread of feeling isolated, as described in the other laundry list. Thus dissociated, we are compelled to continue to sacrifice our true self so that we do not lose our false sense of security through the dysfunctional family tactics of people pleaser, problem solver, quick thinker, or decision maker. Controlling or manipulating takes the place of genuine living. From this protective and domineering position, we can often unknowingly and sometimes purposely intimidate our family members, friends, subordinates, and superiors. We can cause them to obey us with little regard to their humanness, figuring that the supposed skills we have developed are better than any actual weakness the people we deal with may have. With the consistent daily work we do in ACA, we move out of isolation and are not unrealistically afraid of other people, even authority figures, the flip side of the laundry list. When confronted by adult situations, we can learn not to regress to a stage in our childhood. We can respond appropriately to the situation at hand, freeing ourselves from the childhood reactions of isolating and extraordinary fear. We can reparent ourselves, take the ACA 12 steps, get clear about how the effect is impacting us, and decide to try a different approach. When challenged about our positions of power, the other laundry list, we can face and resolve our fear of people and our dread of isolation and stop intimidating others with our power and position, the flip side of the other laundry list. No longer driven by unconscious fear of people and dread of being alone, we can engage with the world, accepting the demands of our position while not depriving family members, friends, or our colleagues of their dignity and integrity. This will take a great deal of effort on our part, and we may not be able to immediately recognize how this effect drives us to be reactionary or how it impacts those around us. The meetings and our fellow travelers may help us if we ask. The effect on us and those around us will gradually become clearer as we develop the insight and experience garnered from working the ACA steps and reparenting ourselves one day at a time. The gifts of becoming a whole, integrated human being will make the journey of life a wonderful adventure with the ever-present guide of our higher power, without whom these gifts may go unrealized.
You know, I never really thought that, like, the other side of the laundry list applied. Like, when I first started doing AC, I thought I related more to those traits, and then I realized, and then it changed. But when it comes to what we're talking about now, you know, I was so afraid, you know, living in my home, growing up in my home, there was so much anger. And I was so afraid. I really didn't realize how much anger I had. And I can remember, especially towards my dad, I can remember when I was like 12 years old, something happened. I don't remember what it was, but I went after my dad with like a big vacuum cleaner piece. And like, I literally went to attack him because I was just so angry. And like, that was the first and last time anything like that ever happened. But, you know, and I'm trying to think like how it changed. I think, you know, I drank for a really long time. When I raised my kids, I was a rager. You know, I did not hit them, but I was a screamer. I was a rager. I remember my son, because he didn't clean his room. He had all these trophies from like his sports that he did, because he was always doing some sports. Like, he was a young teen. And I remember going to his room because he didn't clean it, and like taking my hand and like just like throwing it against, like every trophy went flying, right? And my daughter, I would, you know, like, I think about these things and how I acted. I was so dysregulated and I had so much anger and I just didn't know what to do with it. And I'm thinking about something that happened, like when I was working in between, when my kids were small, I was doing sales. I wasn't doing bedside nursing and I was working in an office and my boss was very authoritative. You know, I don't like being told what to do, obviously. You know, I have issues with authority, and my boss was he was vicious, and he was very controlling to people, and he would make people cry, and he would make me cry. And I remember one day going into the office and he was saying whatever he was saying, because it was like a sales office. And, you know, I remember just like something flipped on me and I like went off on him. And like, he never spoke to me that way again. And all of a sudden I became in the office, because I became like a manager. I became him. Like, it's so interesting. I became this person I hated. Like, I took over him. He sat in his office and let me be him. And, you know, what changed for me, you know, what's changing for me now, obviously, is this and knowing where it's coming from. And, but I have to say, like, when I got sober, you know, not that I'm not dysregulated anymore, but I learned this like pause thing where you just have to stop. So it's not like I don't want to do it, because sometimes I can be very, like I heard Trish say, I heard Gina say, I can cut you with words. Like, I can be like, people know that about me. They like, Lisa's really nice until she's not, you know, and it doesn't happen often. It doesn't happen often, but I can be so mean. And, you know, I think that the only thing that keeps it in check somewhat is the fact that, like, because of being sober and learning, like, this whole, like, pause, take a deep breath, don't do the first thing that comes to mind. But it doesn't mean it's still not there. It just means I'm not acting out on it, you know? So it's really, yeah, like, the authority figures have always been an issue for me. And I just never realized so much until we started talking about this. And I heard so many other people share. And yeah, so that's it. Thanks for letting me.
Okay. So yesterday it happened. I got frustrated. I was by myself with my daughter for a couple hours and my husband wasn't there. So just me and my daughter, she's 8 months old. And I was changing her, I was getting her ready to lay down. And I was, you know, I know she's going to sleep for a while. I was put a clean diaper on her. And while I was doing that, she kicks me in the face, kicks me in the eye. And I was like, no. Normally, you know, same with pets or other children, I will say no firmly and they stop. Well, she thought it was funny and she did it again. So I was like, so that time I didn't say no. I just went ahead and I smacked her once, just kind of think on her thigh. So, and then right away she started crying. And of course I felt bad because I did the one thing that I didn't want to do. So far I was like, no, I haven't gotten upset with her when she does things like that. She pulls my hair. I tell her, no, I won't hit her hand or anything. I know other people do. Smack their children's hands or whatever, but I haven't done that. It was yesterday. It was the first time that I'd done that. I was like, oh my God, did I become my parents or what did I just do? And then I was like, okay, well, I just started thinking. I was like, well, you were somewhat emotionally unregulated, so we got to fix that, see what you can do so you don't end up taking your frustrations out another person or another situation. So it's just something that I thought I had worked through, but apparently there's just a little piece of it that's unresolved. So I'm still, I guess it's a work in progress. I did post it yesterday on the parenting group in the app. So I figured, I don't think most of you guys are in the parenting group. I figured maybe to share that. And then of course I called my mother today and she's like, why on earth did you do that? And I was like, well, she kicked me in the face and she was laughing at me. And she's like, but she's just a baby. Like, I'm aware she's just a baby, but when do you tell children that they shouldn't be doing these things? And it's just kind of one of those things that I'm trying to parent from, I guess, trying to parent as a adult child. It's very challenging. So I don't, yeah, so it's a lot of things, I guess, I guess trial and error, just gotta learn. So that's why I'm still here. Thanks.
Okay, shit show dudes, you can tune out. This is for my fellow shit show ladies. Are you going through perimenopause or menopause? I'm not quite there yet, but I know that I have plenty to look forward to. Feeling like a wet sock driving down the highway. Night sweats. Poor sleep. Feeling tired all the time. Bloating. Gas. Man, can't wait for this shit. Now, if that is applicable to you, then you have to try Hormone Harmony. So Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 fucking seconds, okay? Now, Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work. Now, for my younger shit show women like myself, if you struggle from that vicious week before your period, you want to crawl out of your skin, experience cravings, want to eat everything in the damn house, you feel a little bit down or off, well, Happy Mammoth also has a product for you to make it easier to manage your PMS with their Estro Control. So for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code adultchild at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code adultchild for 15% off today. All right, my shit show ladies, let me tell you about how I can make getting dressed so much easier for you. Armoire is a clothing rental membership where you get to build your perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you gotta do is take a 5-minute style quiz and then select from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new to you styles. So I love this because I'm on video quite often on interviews and social media content, and I don't want people to be like, is that the only shirt that this girl owns? I also would not consider myself in the know of what's hot and what's not. But with Armoire, I get to pretend like I'm a fashionista. So this is perfect for working moms, for stay-at-home moms, for any women who just don't feel like going to the store. Now, right now, You Should Chill ladies can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off your first month. So that is up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/littlechild. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/littlechild to get 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear ever again. Do you know how many times I've set the intention that on Sunday, I'm going to get up, I'm going to plan my meals out for the week, I'm going to go to the store, I'm going to get everything that I need, I'm going to come home, I'm going to make all my meals for the week. Do you know how many times I've actually been successful in doing that? Not once, folks, okay? Not one single time. But alas, I have found the perfect solution. Meet Sunbasket, a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your damn door. You get to pick and choose what you're in the mood for every week. Maybe one week you're feeling Mediterranean, maybe another week you're feeling a little carb consciousness. I like the sound of that. I most recently made, it was a spinach and strawberry salad with steak. It was damn good. So go to sunbasket.com/adultchild today to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/adultchild to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order.
So this reading, I swear, you guys, sometimes these readings, they just smack you. I was thinking about something earlier today, long before I knew this reading. And just as I was sitting here, I realized how much this situation applies to what we're talking about. I left a job in November of last year because I was having trauma responses to interactions with two different coworkers, both women. One woman, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, I'm going to try to not like stretch this out, but one woman was physically taller, broader than me, and she had a lot of anger, and she had this habit of kind of leaning over, and since I was shorter, it felt like she was towering over me and like projecting, and she was always angry. She'd come in angry about whatever happened at home, and she just was this hurricane of anger. And I felt I was, you know, a 5-year-old. I would fawn and just get small and just, please stop. And, you know, I would get really tiny and small because I have major fears of authority because of my abusive father. But there was another woman that was equally problematic for me in a different way. But this woman was smaller than me. She was shorter. She was petite. And she was really scrappy and really uncouth. And that woman made me want to fight. And I am not a fighter. I am not someone who fights. But I remembered, like, when my brother was young, when he was smaller than me, I was mean and abusive until he got old enough and pushed me back one day. And I started thinking about that power differential and how I had always assumed that I was the one that was afraid of people, authority figures. But I'd forgotten that there is that part of me that when I feel like there's even the potential that I could have the advantage, I can become very aggressive, and at least in my intentions, you know. And so, yeah, this reading is super uncomfortable for me, but it's very timely because that was something I was dwelling on earlier today. So thanks for letting me share.
Okay, so I guess I am also the asshole. Like, I have all these, I guess I would call them like bullying traits, is sort of like, you know, and like what I used to do a lot. And like, I'm like, even now I say it like I think it's funny because it's like, I'm such like, I'm a very small person. Anyone can beat me up. I'm very weak. And like when I was a little kid, like in kindergarten, everybody called me shrimp, and that like just, it like devastated me, stuck with me so much. Like I just stopped wearing heels every day of my life since the pandemic. Like, I just didn't, you know, like, I just have like a huge complex about it. And so I feel like I, you know, when I finally realize, like, you know, okay, I'm not just like a shrimp. I, you know, like by the time I was in sixth grade or something, I felt like, you know, I was like, I can bully people. Like, it's just kind of like, you know, it's kind of like overcompensating or like whatever, like the short man's complex. It's like typical. And I definitely did that with my sister, like all the time, because she's younger than me. And I had also the same experience as Laura, that she one day got bigger than me and just came back and it was over. Because now she's, you know, she's always been bigger than me. So I can't do anything there. But that I do feel like bad about. I think that, like, I was the first child, and my dad, I guess, well, my mom said she had never even seen him cry until his mom's funeral, by which time I was an adult. So, like, that just seems really weird to me. But and I don't really recall, like, my dad being like this to me, but I remember that the two of us would always, like, gang up on my sister and be like, "You're too sensitive, you gotta toughen up," and just, like, all the, like, totally typical complete bullying things that, like, you shouldn't do. But it's odd because I don't remember that, like, happening to me. And obviously there's no other kid to do it to me. But, like, I kind of just feel like I like, picked it up, or, like, saw that, like, my mom is super depressed, emotional, and, like, that. And my dad is always really calm. And, like, and I am also, like, you know, I have a tendency to be more very emotional and very, like, out of control of my emotions, because my parents did not teach me anything like that. But, like, I guess what I learned was to hide them, right? And so I get the only emotion I've ever really felt, and that I've always felt, is anger. And, like, even, you know, I guess, like, to this day, like, the rest of my family, like, you know, it's like I almost like that they're scared of me, or, like, that, you know, they know, like, well, don't do that to Gina, because, like, not like I would ever get physical, I won't win that way, but, like, I can yell at longer than anyone. And, like, I also keep, like, I always have, like, you know, the killer thing, like, oh, well, I don't know, it's terrible, and I think I've stopped doing it, but I used to be like, oh, it's like my insurance. I'd start dating a new guy, and then I'd, like, sleep with someone else, so I'd be like, well, that's my insurance, like, if it doesn't work out, like, whatever, which is really obviously unhealthy. But I've stopped really, I haven't done that since a long time, but I guess, like, most recently I've sort of been having the same issue with work, and I had it, like, this morning, and I started to cry, actually, because then I got so, it makes me upset at myself that I'm still doing this, where it's half that I, like, can't, I don't know, it's, like, half, like, that I'm out of control of my emotions, or, like, that it is just, like, my instant reaction is just, like, anger, and just to be nasty. And that's clearly not a good idea in the context of work, to, you know, at all, but definitely to people that are, like, your boss or, like, in charge of you. But it's, and my only, I think, saving grace is I work at home, right? There's only so much people can piss you off when you're at home, let's be honest. So we'll see how it goes. That's all I have.
You know, I used to be really good at being mean, and now my skills have deteriorated. I used to be pretty quick-witted, and now it takes a little while. I would say, like, when I first got into ACA and I read trait one, like, I didn't know about the other side, the flip side. And I was like, oh, this doesn't match me at all, because I have worn my anger on my sleeve since my adolescence and maybe even my childhood. And I wonder if that, I didn't grow up in a household that was very scary. I grew up in a household where the primary abuse was neglect. And so for me, being bombastic and being ridiculous and over the top was exactly what it says, is my desperate attempt for any attention. But I was a very F you, F this. I was getting arrested, you know, conduct disorder, whatever you want to call it, sent to juvie, all the things. I didn't give a flying fuck. I had so much anger. And I remember when I had a stepdad for a few years, and he would try and come in and, like, try and regulate things, and it didn't scare me enough. I just had this anger that I really wasn't afraid to express. I wonder I wonder if it's the difference between if I had a scary parent that really frightened me, if I would be more afraid of authority figures. But it's interesting how I have been able to channel, because some of it's real, like some of this, because basically I just lost respect for authority and I didn't believe authority was there to help me. I was disappointed and let down time and time again by authority. And I still am. This still happens. And so I don't necessarily do it for attention seeking, but I still really have these held beliefs that like these people that are in positions of authority are really not out here to help and protect for the most part. I really strongly believe in that. And it's guided a lot of my work, my professional work, my artistic work, and all sorts of things like that. But then on the flip side, when it comes to interpersonal relationships and like people that I really want to like me, I am pathetically weak. And like, I am terrified of disappointing them or saying the wrong thing. So it's a really interesting dichotomy, I guess, because that was so lacking, like that when I get this person who like wants to like me or pay attention to me, I'm so desperate to keep it that I really will be so afraid of disappointing them or doing anything wrong. So it's really a strong dichotomy in me. But yeah, I still give a nice, and living in the Northeast is very helpful because I just get to flip people off and all sorts of things. Riding a bike in the city is very helpful. I think your early podcast episodes about riding bikes in New York City was I could relate really hard with that. But yeah, so thanks for letting me share.
Hey, everybody. You know, when I first got an ACA, I love workbooks. And in fact, until recently, I really didn't like anything that was, how do you say, experiential. I didn't like those things because most of the time they were something I had to do in an audience, like at a retreat or whatever. And I prefer not to process things that make myself vulnerable in front of other people and stuff. But I got the workbook and they said, oh, don't do the workbook alone, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, no, I'm doing this workbook. And then, so I'm going through it and I'm realizing, and I mean this in humor, I don't mean to offend anybody, but I think that the flip side of the laundry list is the one I most identify with. And when I identified with it, I go, yeah, I'm the asshole kind of ACA. You know, I'm not the other kind. And I'm like, oh, great, you know. And one of the things that I am coming to terms with is I have to wind up my IFS counseling. And my IFS counseling is just, I just love it. I would do it the rest of my life every week if I could afford it. But it's really expensive. I put a kind of a cap on the budget on it. And so I'm going to wind it down. And this week, when I was talking to my IFS counselor, it was, you know, I had an experience with a neighbor who, you know, flipped me off and jumped in front of my car and kind of did this like dramatic thing. And my knee-jerk reaction was to, you know, get out of my car and say, hey, what you've done is inappropriate, but I had to, I don't use a snake tongue. I use a silver tongue as my expression because it's almost like a knife, like a letter opener or something. I just like, and take somebody's, what I think will just shut them down. And I got out of the car and my final comment, I made three comments to this woman. My final comment was something that in the moment she could not come back from. I mean, I was just like, just dismissive, just really cutting her off at the knees. And I was talking to my IFS counselor about it. And, you know, what came to mind is that's my 17-year-old. The person was also acting like a 17-year-old, but it was my 17-year-old. And my 17-year-old is not depressed, has a lot of discernment, and, you know, really can shut things down. And she's protecting my other parts. My other parts that are like 14, 15, 16 have a tendency to get depressed, take things internally, and then just get depressed. And so my 17-year-old part is the protector of those parts because she's like, oh, I'm going to come in and take care of this so none of you have to get depressed. And it was just really interesting because those opportunities, which don't happen very often. I mean, I'm pretty old. I don't have normally neighbors like
flipping me off in the street or anything like that happening to me. You know, it was just like, it's an indication that I have another unhealed place, because if I was coming from a very, very healed place, he gave me several comments that I could have made that I kind of did make, but would make him less animated, and then not make the last comment if I didn't feel like that I needed to protect my other inner parts that have a tendency to be morose, to just kind of go into, you know, if I don't stand up for myself, I'm gonna feel blame, you know, blame myself and stuff like that. But just the whole thing of getting to the point in life where I'm a huge resource person. So anything, I'm always like, I'm always trading resources with people, and I'm always asking for resources, because I just get a tremendous amount of help by seeking things outside myself. It's like the whole old recovery expression, my best thinking got me here. So I need something, you know, outside of myself. And I have been able to afford some expensive outside resourcing, which is like so privileged, you know, but I did earn the money for it. And I do have a ninth grade education, and I have worked my ass off. And if I want to spend X amount of money from whatever in order to do that, I'm able to give that like gift to myself without feeling bad or whatever. But man, sometimes I just think I really, my heart goes out to people that may not have the resource, or may not have something tucked away where they could, or they don't feel like they can afford to do that for themselves. I don't want to be that other the laundry list person. And I just think that any of these things that happen where they trigger these kind of things are such a gift, because it shows me that I have this unhealed place, and there is hope, and there is an answer, and there is people that I can talk to, and there is a chat that's 24/7 on in this community where I can say, oh, I did this terrible thing or whatever, and people can, you know, come alongside me and give me some insight and hope and support. And so I'm just really, really grateful. So thank you guys all for being here tonight. I'm really grateful to be here. So thanks.